And now, today's word.
Developing a plan for my life. This is part two of my series. Developing a plan for my life. And the reason why I'm doing this series is 10 years ago, I taught on developing a 20-year plan. And I got people to fill a 20-year plan. By the way, how many of you filled were there 10 years ago and did a 20-year life plan? Let's see you by hand. Okay, quite a number of you were there. How many of you were not there and didn't do the 20-year life plan? Okay, so it's for people like you and also those who were there that I'm doing this. So this is halfway of the mark. So this is, we've done 10 years, whether you did much with it or not. I just felt I need to revisit the situation, and we talk about developing a life plan. But this is going to be a 10-year life plan. For those of you who did the 20-year, this is a mid-year review or mid-period review. For those of you who never did it, it's going to be your first time to do a life plan. So what I'm doing is teaching and giving us the framework, the kinds of ideas that help us to develop a life plan, because our life must not be an accident. We must always live our lives according to a plan that we are working out, that we are intentionally committing ourselves to. And that is what I'm doing. My subtitle for today is From Here to There. From Here to There. Last week I talked about to plan or not to plan. Today is From Here to There. A lot can happen in 10 years. If you look at all the things that have happened the last 10 years, and especially in the last few years since we entered the new millennium, that's about 24 years ago, we're talking about Y2K bug and all of that. So much has happened in our world. So 10 years is such a long time that so much can happen, and hopefully so much positive can happen to you. To begin my teaching from today, we're going to go to the book of Philippians, and we're going to read from chapter 3 and verses 12 to verse number 14. But let me give you a little background before I read the text. In the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul is teaching, and in chapter 2, he spoke about the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And he told us about the mind of Christ. Now in chapter 3, he's telling us his mindset. So chapter 2 is the mindset of Christ. And based on the mindset of Christ, Paul says, this is how I also deal with life. This is my mindset. This is my philosophy of life. Because it's always important, the kind of mindset, the philosophy you have about life determines how you live life. And Paul is telling us about the philosophy of life. So let's go to the text and read it. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So this is Paul telling us about how he approaches life and how he approaches his mission. And there are two main things that Paul is talking about, and I will summarize it for you. The first thing, Paul is saying God has a place he wants me to be. God has a place he wants me to be. He says God has a place, and he calls it the upward call or the high calling of Christ. So all he's saying is there is something God wants to do with my life. There is something higher God wants to do with my life. There is something greater that God wants to do with my life. So if you're going to do a life plan, it's always important to know it's not just about you putting some ideas and thoughts together, but also recognizing that God has a plan for your life. God has an expectation for your life, for my life. There is a place God wants me to get to. Now, if you look at the passage, Paul uses two ways to talk about this place. First, he says, I press forward. I press forward. And then he says, it's an upward call. It's a very interesting analogy he's using there. Because when you want to make movement in life, you have to go forward. And normally going forward is basically going from A to B on the same level. But then Paul says, he says, what God is calling me to do is not just about going forward. He says, it's an upward call. It's an upward call. Now, those of you who have exercised using the treadmill know that if you're using the treadmill, if you're walking on the same level, it's quite easy. You can do it leisurely and walk and take your time. But when you put the treadmill on an incline, it becomes very, very challenging. It's like when you are walking or jogging. If you are walking and jogging in your neighborhood, there are no hills, there are no high points. It's easy. It's easy. But if you want to challenge yourself, you go to the Ebre Hills or you go to a place where you have to now go up. And anytime you decide not to just go forward, but to go up as you're going forward, you are resisting gravity. And gravity is a force that wants to pull you down, but God is calling us to go against gravity. So what Paul is saying is, God is calling me to a higher place. Yes, it's going to be difficult going there, but God wants me to go to a higher level. It's going to be difficult, it's going to be challenging, but I'm going to get there. God is calling us not only to a forward march, but to an upward march. And Paul later says, this upward call is for me to know Christ, to live for him better, and to do his will. So there is a place God wants me to get to. The second thing Paul is telling us about his mindset is that he says, I'm going to do everything possible to get there. He says, I will press. I'll forget about the past. I'm going to press in to get to this place that God wants me to get to. I must do all I can to get to the place God wants me to get to. It's one thing knowing God has a plan for you, another thing committing to fulfill the plan. Now, sometimes you may know that God has a plan for you. There's a place God wants me to get to, and fold your arms and say, thank God he has a plan for my life. But Paul says, thank God he has a plan for my life. And because he has a plan for my life, I'm going to do everything to be where he wants me to be. That's a big difference from a person who has a fatalistic mindset who says, yeah, God has a plan for my life, but the thing for you never lost. And so whatever God wants for me will happen. Paul didn't say that. He says, God has a plan for my life, but I'm going to do everything to get there. So there is a human responsibility Paul is talking about to get to the place where God wants me to get to. If you're going to really live a meaningful life, at any level of your life, you have to recognize God has a plan for you. But more than that, you have to be ready to do hard work to become the person God wants you to be. So in another way, Paul is saying the fact that God has a plan for you doesn't mean it will come to pass in your life. That's another way he's the fact that God has a plan for you doesn't mean it will happen. You have to act in a way that meets with God's plan. So that's the mindset. And later on, Paul says that those who are mature in Christ must have this mindset. This is the mindset of the believer. This is what I introduced last week, and I called it the biblicist mindset. It's not humanist. It's not fatalist. It's biblicist. God has a plan for me. I'm going to do everything to get to the place that God wants me to get to. Now, with that framework established, We're going to go to the Old Testament, and I'm going to show you how this works out sometimes in our lives practically. And we're going to look at the life of Elijah and how these principles worked out in his life. In 1 Kings chapter 17, from verse 1 to 4. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 to 4. Now, most of you know Elijah as a great prophet. And yes, he was a great prophet in the Old Testament. And the first time he shows up in the scripture, he brings trouble. He goes to tell King Ahab, "There'll be no rain unless I say so." It's one thing to say there'll be no rain unless you say so. And so there's no rain. But the net effect is if there's no rain, then you will also not have rain. So Elijah set in motion a process that also negatively affected him. There'll be no rain, there'll be farming. That means he will also be hungry. So now God speaks to Elijah to help him not to be a victim of the global situation that is coming. There's going to be no rain, there'll be no food, and there'll be scarcity. How do we survive when the environment, everything is going against us? So God is going to show Elijah what to do that. So let's look at the reading. "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives,'" I believe that's how he spoke, "'before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word.'" Yeah, well spoken, Elijah, but you will also be hungry. So now in verse 2, God is telling him how to deal with this big problem. He says, "Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, 'Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. It will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there.'" Verse 3, "Get away from here." Verse 14, "I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." There are two locations implied in verse 3. Verse 3 says, "Get away from here." Everybody say here. And it says, "I've commanded the ravens to feed you there." Everybody say there. So if you're going to make a journey of life, it's basically a journey from here to there. From here to there. That's what a 10-year plan, that's what a plan of your life is all about. It's moving you from here to there. And God says, "Elijah, I need to move you from here to there." So what is here? Here is where you are presently. It's your present life. It's where I am now. Now, every one of us have here, our here. You say, "Pastor, where is my here?" That's it. That's where you are. You look at yourself, that's your here. That's your life now. Of course, if you look at yourself in 2024, your age is part of your here. Your economic status, your spiritual life, your marital life, all of that, your position in your office, your financial status, all of it is your here. It's where I am now. Where I am now. Now, for some people, their here is fantastic. Because some people can look at their life now and say, "I'm having the best year of my life. This is the best time of, I've never had it better." So your here is phenomenal. For some people, their here is not too good. Some good, some bad. So they'll say, "My here is so-so." And then some people say, "My here is trouble. It's horrible. I hate it." So in the here, we have the good, the bad, and the ugly. People who are rejoicing with their hair, people who are not too happy with their hair, and people who are disgusted with their hair. But whether you are happy with your hair, whether you are not too sure whether you're disgusted, the most important thing is you're going to move. You're going to move. If it's good, you have to move. If it's bad, you have to move. But whatever it is, nobody can stay here forever. All right. So the here is where you are. So how do we move from here? We have to ask ourselves a very important question. How did I get here? How did I get here? What brought me here? Last week I said one of the challenges for most African mindsets is we never ask this question. Most Africans, if Ghana asked this question, we wouldn't be here. We'll be there. But we never ask this question. We don't ask, how did we get here? We talk about, we don't like here, I don't like here, here is no good. But how? How did I get here? What brought me here? And if you look at your life and you look at your here, something brought you here. Maybe something good, maybe something bad, maybe something ugly, but something brought you here. Because very easily we think that our life is a product of spiritual forces bringing us to where we are. But that's not the only way to look at it. There are other factors that influence how we get here. So there are two factors I want you to consider as you make your plan. First is the external factors. What was done for me or to me to get me here? By external factors, I mean that these are things you don't control. You don't control. They are external to you. You have no power over them, and yet they brought you here. You say, Pastor, what are those external factors I don't have power over that has brought me here? There are many of them. For example, your parents. You had no control over your parents. God didn't ask you to say, oh, whom do you want to be, your father and your mother? You didn't go shopping for father and mother. You just grew up one day and just realized, that's my father, and he's a drunkard. That's my mother, she's a prostitute. That's my father, he's a sick man. That's my mother, she eats too much. So you didn't choose it. So their habits are going to form you from your beginning. If they eat the wrong thing, they eat the wrong food, that's what you're going to eat. So maybe they eat a lot of fat and eat a lot of fat, and because of that, your father has high blood pressure and all kinds of things. Guess what you'll be eating at home? The same meals that made him sick is what he's going to introduce you to. That's what your mother will introduce you. So you grow up and you realize your here is based on factors you couldn't control, your parents. Your here is based on factors like your country, your nation. If most of us had been asked, which nation do you want to be born in? I don't think Ghana will be number one. We'll be somewhere, maybe Ghana will be number 99. But you think of other countries to choose. But whether you like it or not, ready or not, here I come, Ghana, your beloved country. So there are factors in Ghana. It's a third world country and it has all its problems and it's had coup d'etats and it has bad leadership and it has all of that. It's your here. It's part of what has brought you here. It's like a boat that is put on a water that is going eastward. Now, if you put the boat on that water going eastward, the boat is going to go eastward. Not because it wants to go eastward, but it is influenced by forces going eastward. So most times in life you realize you are here because other forces have brought you here. Maybe your parents didn't like education, or they had 20 children. Your father had children with all kinds of women, couldn't educate them well. By the time it got to you, you were maybe number 18. His money was finished. So that is external. You had no power over it, so you couldn't get education, you couldn't get all kinds of things. So that's part of your here. But that's not the only thing that influences where you are. There's also internal things. Internal is what I did for or to myself. Sometimes the external is not as powerful as the internal. It's what you do by yourself to reinforce the negatives in your life. But going back to the analogy of the boat, if the boat is not by itself and it has a boatman or a fisherman, the fisherman sits in the boat is going eastward, but he has a paddle. He can work hard and turn the direction of the boat, which naturally should go eastward, to go westward. In other words, although externals can be against you, internals can overcome the external. The Christian life is an internal life. That is why in the midst of darkness, crisis, you shine as light. In the midst of darkness, we don't become darkness. We shine as light because the Christian life is a life that takes you opposite what the external is taking you. So as you think of your life, think about what external forces you couldn't have any power over that has brought you here. But also think about your own choices, your own actions, your own decisions, your own behavior that has added to the external to bring you here. Now, many times what people call generational curse is nothing but repeated cycles of choices and decisions. Doing the same things your parents did, doing the same things that your uncles did, doing the same things that people in your country do, is going to predictably produce the same results that was in their lives. And it's not a generational curse. It's just poor choices in the same direction. So here, what got me here? Some external factors, maybe my parentage, maybe my nation, maybe the kind of education I had, maybe what people did against me, maybe I wasn't treated well, maybe people beat me up, maybe I was maltreated, maybe I was abused. That's external. What about what I did to myself? Well, they abused me, so I abused myself. Nobody had confidence in me, so I had no confidence in myself. Nobody gave me a chance, so I gave myself no chance. Now you are contributing to the external. And that's where you are. Or you could have it good. Your parents were great. They gave you great opportunity. And you said, I'm going to learn hard. And so you also made a lot of positive choices to reinforce the positives that you inherited. But whatever it is, you are here because of both external and internal choices. What about there? When we say there, what are we talking about? There is my future. It's where I'm going. That's where I'm going. God has a place called there for each one of us. For Elijah, there was a physical place. For Paul, there is a higher calling, it's a spiritual place. So there is not a physical place necessarily. Sometimes it's a social place, it's a mental place, but it's an attitude, or it's just a high calling God has for you. Whatever there is, it is where you are going. And the thing about life is whether you do nothing or not, you will move. Have you noticed that life cannot say that, oh, you didn't go out. When you get up in the morning, you sleep in the morning. It's even you sleep, you didn't do anything. So 10 years time, you'll be 10 years younger. No. Whether you act or not, life's forces will impact you. So you will go there. You will get there, but it has to be a there that has been intentionally decided on, not an a there that is being pulled by the forces of life. So there is my future. It's where I'm going. The question you have to ask yourself is, how do I get there? Paul says, I have a high calling. How do I get there? Elijah, there is a place for you to be fed. How do I get there? 10 years from now, I want to be this kind of a person. How do I get there? How do I have a better marriage? How do I have a better spiritual life? How do I have a healthier life? How do I get there? That's a question each one of us must ask, because doing a life plan is not just about writing positive things about your future, but doing a proper analysis of what got you here, where you want to be, and the deficit between, and how to manage the deficit. So as we did with the here, two things. External, what are the things pushing against me? What are the things pushing against me? What are the forces pushing against me? If you are a Ghanaian, there are a lot of forces pushing against you. The Ghanaian society, problems with energy, with power, taxation, if you're a business person, all kinds of problems, they are pushing against you. Then you are going to look at habits you have formed in the past that are pushing against you. You're just a lazy person. Have you noticed how when we say lazy, we think others are lazy? But have you just considered you are just a pure lazy person? And you have to be honest with yourself and say, let me face facts, I'm very lazy. Because until you know what is pushing against you, you wouldn't even know how to push against it. So what's pushing against you? Maybe it's your habits. Maybe you get angry too often, too easily. Maybe you give up too quickly. You face challenges and you give up. So what is it pushing against? Externally, in the nation, in your family, and they're external. I call them the gravitational forces. Gravitational forces, every force that's trying to push you down. In Africa, most people tend to think the gravitational force is witches and wizards. May I please suggest to you, leave them out of your plan. Leave them. They are inconsequential to your victory and to your future. Witches and wizards, don't even think about them. Don't. Even if you are not a Christian, don't think about them. The most serious problems you have is not witches and wizards. It's attitudes, it's lifestyle, it's worldview, it's the choices you make. Those are far more powerful than a witch. What is he going to do against you? Amen. You are a Christian, you are born again, you have the Spirit of God in you, and your witches are a factor. They are not a factor. They are not internal factor, they are not external factor. They are not. It's all part of a mindset that keeps you from taking personal choices and responsibility. Take charge as a Christian. So, what are the things pushing against me? And if you're a Ghanaian, the things in the Ghanaian society, things in the African society, if you come from a quarrelsome family, that's probably some of the things pushing against you. And all of that. So, you look at the things pushing against me. But then, internally, you have to ask yourself, what should I do to overcome these things pushing against me? What should I do? And it could be so many things you have to do in order to push against the externals, keeping you from getting to where you want to get to. So, having done that, I'm going to walk you in the text again, in 1 Kings. And the verse 3 says, God says to Elijah, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded ravens there to feed you.